One of the beautiful things about the move of God that's happening now is people that you may not be familiar with are about to be put on the stage in the Great Awakening. There are great awakeners we're discovering, and when we find them, we put them right on the Courage Tour platform. And then we just sit back and watch because the Spirit of God comes down. You're about to be electrified, convicted, and moved by this pastor, this prophet, actually, who is working as a pastor, Miles Rutherford. Powerful man of God. And the reason why we could do this is because we're going out to seven states on the front lines of the battleground states. We believe it's a spiritual battleground. That's why it's a battleground state. We're going in with great awakening power, supernatural signs and wonders, preaching and preparing the body of Christ for the activity that saves the nation. Go to thecouragetour.com/partner. And partner with us as the grassroots army to make these events happen. Seven states, the pivotal front lines. And folks, we're going to have to believe God for like $1.5 million, $2 million to do this. But if we all pitch in a little bit, this is the grassroots populist movement in action. And I believe God's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of us. And he's going to take care of America. I want you to go to thecouragetour.com/partner or put the word awaken in the Facebook or Instagram feed, if that's where you're watching this, the word awaken, and I'll send you a link so that you can take action on it. Let's go in and listen to this powerful word from God. Pastor Miles Rutherford is a revivalist whose aim is to ignite the fire of God in the hearts of people across the globe. He serves alongside with his wife, Delana Rutherford, the founder of Worship with Wonders Church in Marietta, Georgia. And he's an author and a songwriter, recording artist. So my connection with him is we pray for who to connect with. And we believe that the people that God connects us with are designed for this time and this season. And so this is one of those individuals that God has ordained for the nature of the move of God. And there needs to be a pastors who are suitable to the move of God, who aren't like you heard with Jensen yesterday, who will pay the price to lose what must be lost in order to gain what God gives them. I want you to welcome this great pastor, Miles Rutherford. God bless you. Oh.
Somebody do the same thing for Jesus Christ in here. Amen. Thank you, Lance Wallnow. Thank you for having me. Honor you, sir, and Mario Murillo in this great courageous tour. How many already feel courage building up on the inside of you? I want to honor my wife, Pastor Delana. She pastors alongside me. Baby, stand up. Let them see how fine you are. Beautiful inside and out. My family. All come to support me today. I am an Atlanta guy. My wife and I have been pastoring here for 17 years in Marietta, so we have something to say about the region in this area, and we believe God is going to take this region over, and Atlanta shall be saved. We got some Worship with Wonders people in the room, but more importantly, we've got the most important people in the room are the remnant of God. If you know you are in the remnant, you are the Christians and the believers that are making a difference in this time, in this moment. I want you to stand to your feet and just say, "That's me, Lord," and give God one of the greatest shout of praises you've ever given him. It is 10:38, and I have apparently 30 minutes to stand in front of you. And so I'm a preacher, thank you. And I'm not a politician, I'm a preacher. And I feel very called in this moment, in this time, to raise up a believing people, a remnant of people. And how many know a remnant doesn't mean a church? The remnant is in the inside of the church. A church, you can go to church and not be the remnant. If you want to know who the remnant are, they're just simply offended by what God is offended with. And they're not better than, they're just bolder than. They're not very big. We have a small remnant in America, and I want to talk about that a little bit, but I want to talk to you because I believe I'm talking to the remnant in this room today. And I want to just light a fire. So I know this is a meeting. This isn't a church building, but I want to have church with you today. And I really feel the Lord has a word for you. I want you to get your Bibles out. If you got your Bibles, say amen. 1 Kings 18. We know this to be Elijah in 17. He proclaims a drought for 3.5 years. The drought happens. And I want you to notice that God never told Elijah to call the drought. He was just fed up, and he began to present himself and say, there will be no rain except at my word. God never asked him to do that, but God backs up those who are righteous and recognize a moment in history where we need to make a definitive stand. But 1 Kings 18 says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And the third year, the Bible in Luke says 3.5 years, so 3.5 years, he says these words, Elijah, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Everybody say, go present yourself to Ahab. Today, I really want to talk to you about presenting yourself. I believe we're in a situation right now in this country, which I'm going to focus on, is the need for the church to present themselves and to prepare. Presenting yourself is simply saying, I'm coming out of silence. We do not need a silent majority right now in America. We need a motivated group of people in the church that are willing to come out from the woodwork, come out from their houses like you are today, making a definitive statement, we will be seen and we will be heard. Come on, somebody. I'm in church now and I'm a Pentecostal preacher. So you're allowed to shout me down and you're allowed to wave and jump up and down. And if you really want to do it, you can run around the building if you get excited. But I want to explain to you why we are very much in a parallel to what you read in 17, 18, and 19 of 1 Kings. And Elijah, he was somebody that comes out of a woodline. Nobody understood where he come from, but he was just people. He is a person that we would look at as today as somebody who would come out, and where did they come from? He represents that. And there are a lot of people that you may not know right now, but you're going to start learning about them because they're sick and tired of where the things are going on in this nation, and they want to be seen and heard for the sake of God, not just for the church. It's time for us to speak up for God and not just the church. Come on, somebody. We need some voices that will speak for God and on God's behalf. I am a voice not for the right or left, but a voice for right and wrong. We need voices that will be a voice for right and for wrong. And how many know there's no person that's going to get it 100% right who is going to be in the next 4 years, whether it's Trump or Biden, whoever. But I want to know this, that I'm standing before the Lord and I am representing him. And we don't let the tail wag the dog this year, but we put our foot down and we say what we want. We are the church and we are making some definitive statements. This is what we believe and we are on the Lord's side. I want to know if there's anybody in this room that is on the Lord's side and wants God's righteousness to be exalted in this nation. If that's you, it's a good spot to get up on your feet and make a definitive sound in the air and blow a shofar for this city to be saved, for this nation.
Amidst the challenges of eroding core values like faith, family, and freedom, there's a great awakening coming to America. And we're here to equip you. Lance Wallnau and Mario Murillo have rallied insightful speakers guaranteed to empower all who attend the 2024 Courage Tour. Receive clarity and inspiration that will impact your life and community. Visit thecouragetour.com and join Lance and Mario for the Courage Tour, coming to an area near you. When we band together, courage is contagious.
Ahab today does not represent one man. He represents a system. It is a system that is indifferent to sin. It's a system that tolerates sexual immorality. It's a system that compromises on abortions. It's a system that worships self rather than worships God.
God's will is a righteous nation and a righteous people. How many would agree with that? This moment in time, we must mobilize the people of God to be visible. That's why the message title today is Present Yourself. Don't hide, present yourself. Who do we present ourselves to? We're not here presenting ourselves to simply a president or Congress or Senate. Church, we are representing and presenting ourselves to principalities that are in the heavenlies that are trying to do its best in order to represent lawlessness and godlessness in this nation. That's why God needs Elijahs. Tap your neighbor and say, I'm an Elijah today. God needs people that will be a voice, that will be a resounding voice in a season where people are listening to echoes. God needs a voice. We don't need vices. We need voices today. We need people that will speak resolute words, not assumptions. Listen, the body of Christ is not an apprehensive body. There's a church and then there is a body. The church is an organism. Or as an organization, but the body is an organism. How many know we are the body of Christ? How many would consider yourselves to be the body of Christ here today? The body of Christ is full of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, when Jesus raised from the dead, he said, I'm going to send a helper to you, and he will be the Spirit of truth, and he will reside in you. That's the reason why some of you are here today, because you recognize that in this nation, many of the people that are taking our culture and society are taking them into subjective truth rather than objective truth. What happens is the Spirit of God on the inside of us recognizes that this is a false truth and not the real truth, and something on the inside of a remnant gets up and begins to stand up. Isaiah says it like this, arise, shine, for your light has come. That word light has come is followed, or that sentence, light has come, is followed by, behold, darkness covers the deep, and deep darkness over the faces of the people. There was a guy by the name of Bezmenov. How many have ever heard of Bezmenov? Anybody know Bezmenov? He was a defected KGB agent. And he said, they have a plan for America back in the 80s. And this is almost a prophetic thing. I would like to call it a prediction. But he said, they have a plan to demoralize America. Matter of fact, it's four stages: demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and then a new norm. That's how you completely change a nation. That's how you can go from freedom to socialism. That's how you can take a nation and take them in a different direction. Number one, you have to demoralize them. What does that mean? He said it would take 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation, because you have to change Congress by changing kindergarten. You have to go to kindergarten and change how they think. You have to teach them false truths. You have to teach them that God, or take God out of schools and teach them that whatever their truth is, that's what they have. In other words, after 15 to 20 years, you'll find out that 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 anymore, and a woman is not really a woman. So you demoralize a society. How many can see that that's going on today? That takes 15 to 20 years. This is a prediction that he had. And then after that, it would be a destabilization that takes 3 to 5 years. You know, this whole thing about transgenderism that's so dominant right now, and the acceptance of slaughtering, girls, strapping girls' chests so they look like men, and cutting off boys' genitals so they can feel like a woman. All that stuff has happened over the last 3 to 5 years, has been accepted. Why? Because after you get people to be demoralized, what it does is it affects them to be able to absorb truth. So even though truth is presented, they cannot absorb it because they have been dealt with so much of demoralization. Are y'all tracking with me? Destabilization is when you start seeing those same people. What they do is they begin to stand for their truth. They won't stand for their country. They won't stand for the Bible. They won't stand for their ancestry. They won't stand for their patriarchs. They will only stand for their truth. How many can see right now we're dealing with people that will only stand for their truth? They won't even fight for their country. They will only fight for their truth. It destabilizes a nation of which we are in right now. The next is a crisis. That's where something in economy happens, or something happens with the state of Washington, D.C. Something changes, something a war breaks out, and a crisis happens, and that can happen within weeks, and then you have a new norm. The new norm is created by the people that are in authority with politics. So when you want to see a new norm happen, you create a crisis when the timing is right. And how many know right now the timing is right for society and ungodly people to create a crisis so that they can create a new norm? And I don't know about you, but I don't want, and when I say I don't want a new church, I don't want a new norm, I want to go back to the way God intended for this nation to be ran. We've got to stop scrubbing things like one nation under God, indivisible. We want God back in our schools. We want, now I signed a waiver, so they're not held reliable for what I'm saying. We want God back in our schools. I want God back in politics. I want people that know how to stand for God. I told you I'm a preacher, not a politician. I'm not here to pander to any party. If you're standing on the Lord's side, I'm on your side. I feel like a Moses coming off the mountain right now saying, who is on the Lord's side? I'm not in anybody's back pocket, and I suggest the church realizes that you are not in anybody's back pocket. Don't let somebody stroke you and make you feel good. Make sure you get a little bit. Listen, the church of God is not called to compromise. Abortion is killing children. I said abortion is killing children. I said abortion is killing children. I don't care if it's at conception or 9 months. All the way through, you have to understand if you give a little, the enemy's going to take a lot. It's time for the church to put its shoulders back, put your feet down on the ground, and declare we want representation in this nation, and we want it now. Stop letting the tail wag the dog. You are the people. We are the people. And I want representation. By the way, the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice as a trumpet. That word trumpet is shofar. And it's not just the thing that you're hearing in the background, but the Bible says to lift up your voice as a trumpet. In other words, stop being silent. No more silent treatment by the church, ladies and gentlemen. It's time we say something. It's time we open our mouths. I want to preach in here, but I need a church that'll go with me in this room. I'm a little irritated. I'm mad, and I'm preaching, and I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to your children's children. I'm preaching because if we don't leave something for our children's children, we will have a godless nation in the next 26 years, and it's statistically backed up. I got 15 minutes. They keep making it go a little faster. Y'all nervous, maybe? I don't know. Lance, I'm okay? I was preaching in 2021. First of all, how many know COVID wasn't just a plague, it was a purge? I was preaching in 2021. My wife and I were going across the West Coast. We were preaching from San Diego all the way to Los Angeles, up the coast. And God said, I want you to look for the number 76. I said, what does that mean? He said, just look for the number 76. And how many know when you're a preacher, you just go with the Lord? After a while, you stop second guessing him. And I said, okay, preach number 76, not 75, 76. I said, God, what does this mean? He said, just tell them when they see the number 76 that things are going to change. I said, okay. In 2020, Barna came out, 33% of the church has left. How many know COVID took a lot of people out of the church? Tap your neighbor and say, I'm still here. Y'all know what a shaking does? A shaking doesn't determine who left. It determines who is left. If you look at that scripture, it says, I will shake once more to show you who is remaining. I'm not going nowhere. Come on, church. We need a church that will plant itself right. And you know what? Oh, I want to preach. I don't know. I just feel a Holy Ghost on me right now. Whew. When you read about this Jesus and they try to define who he was, and finally they said, you're Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon, your name shall become Peter. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Doesn't mean they won't try, ladies and gentlemen. It says they will not prevail. Here's the point of that. Jesus never said, I'm going to put my church over here in the corner. He says, I'm going to put them right in the middle of the gates of hell. That's what the church needs to do. Stop hiding in our little assemblies, in our little houses, in our little places. We need to get out and mobilize, and we need to speak to the darkness. We need to be a light in the darkness. We need to shine in the darkness. We need to do it now. I said, we need to do it now. God is looking for a church that will stand right now. Don't complain 6 months from now when you didn't stand right now. God needs a church to stand in the middle of the gates of hell. God kept saying, preach. 76%. 33, Barna came out, and then it was 55. And how many remember when one of the news outlets came out and said, church now is in the, such a decline that it is under people that actually believe in God, go to church, it's under the majority. How many remember hearing that? It was like at 47%. And I was preaching in San Diego, my wife and I. We came back home, and in San Diego news it said 76%. Now, when I seen that, God said, this is it. It said 76% of the church has now agreed for religious exemptions and things to be accepted in the LGBTQ community. 76%. I know not all polls are accurate, but the number stuck in my head because the Lord didn't say 75 or 77. He says, when you see the number 76, I'm going to do something on this earth. How many know God's going to do something on this earth? I said, God's going to do something on this earth, and he's going to do something in America. But God doesn't come to the church first. He comes through the church first. We're all waiting on the second coming, but how many know God's going to come through the church before he comes to and for the church? God is looking for you to stand up, just like you're doing today, taking time out of your busy schedules, coming out here, finding a chair, supporting the Courageous Tour so that you can build up strength. Because outside of this world, you're going to have people that think different, act lit different, look different than you, don't have the same mindset according to this society. But can I tell you, you have to stand firm and be resolute in what you believe, not just because your church preaches it, not because Lance preaches it, Mario or Miles preaches it, but because the Word of God says this is the way we ought to walk in it. He said, if my people, he didn't say the world, he said, if my people will humble themselves, seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Do you know you can be God's people and have wicked ways at the same time? He said, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I believe America will not be healed because we get a new president. America will be healed when the church gets fed up getting the back seat of the... And we say, we've had it. We want our say. Our God is righteous. And we're looking for a righteous nation. The Bible says that the righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness is right standing with God. It was Noah, and God called Noah in 1 Peter 2:5. He says, I called him a preacher of righteousness. We don't need TED Talks. We don't need motivational speaking in the church. We need preachers of righteousness, preaching right standing, that hell is hot, sin is wrong, and God is the way, and Jesus is the only door to him. I wish I had somebody that would believe in what I'm saying, get up on your feet and declare, Jesus is my Lord. Church, present yourself. There's never a greater time to present yourself than right now. Lift up your voice and give God a shout of praise. Seems like the LGBTQ don't mind presenting themselves. Seems like Planned Parenthood don't mind presenting themselves. Seems like the indoctrination of secular and liberal education don't mind presenting themselves. Seems like the liberal news don't mind presenting themselves. I refuse to hide in the cave. I refuse to stay on the mountain. I'm coming down off the mountain. I suggest you come out of your cave, and preachers, you need to preach like you've never preached before. I'm not talking about preachers that hold a mic on a stage. If you need a mic and a stage to be a preacher, you're a performer. I'm talking about the preaching of the gospel that follows the Great Commission. You don't preach because you have an ordination. You preach because you have salvation. Preach. This nation will be turned because of preachers. 76%. 76%. I said, God, what are you saying? This is what he said. He said, go to my word. How many people seen me when I resurrected? 500. The Bible says around 500. He said, how many people were there in the upper room? I said, 120. He said, do the math. I did the math. It's exactly 76%. You're going to have to hold this. 76%. I said, Lord, what are you doing? He said, just like I did in the book of Acts, I'm doing now. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm cleaning house. Now, hold on. How many could say there are people that are not in church anymore since 2020 that used to go to church and you don't see them anymore? Wave your hand. Again, I hate the word COVID. It's ugly, but it is a reminder of what's coming next. They sold us fear in the name of good. You want to know how the Antichrist is set up? Fear in the name of good. God's way is not fear. In 1948, 76%. God began to show me this number after this. And it's in the book that I have. And you can go online, Amazon. It's called Raise Your Voice. 76% of people in America in 1948 served the Lord and went to church. In 2021, 76% have left the faith. Now, here's the deception. Y'all want to know the deception? They didn't leave the church. God said the great apostasy is people falling away from the faith. The deception is they still go to church, but they are okay with sin. They're okay with deception. They're okay with pride flags. They're okay with drag queens. They're okay with all this stuff. And if they don't have them, they don't say much. I'm done with silent preachers. I don't hang out with many preachers anymore. When I say preachers, I'm talking about pastors, and I love pastors. I'm a pastor. My wife's a pastor. But I'm tired of the toleration. We don't need tolerance right now. If you read in Revelations 3, he speaks to the church of Thyatira. He says, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. That word toleration simply means you know it's wrong, but don't do anything about it. It doesn't mean you agree with it, but you say nothing. How many could say you wish a whole lot more mainline pastors and preachers and ministries would lift up their voice and call out sin what it is? I got 5 minutes. I'm doing good. I got to my introduction. 76%. 76%. In 2021... we've seen 76%. He said, I'm cleaning house. And ladies, gentlemen, so I'm not sexist. How many have ever had to clean your house? Men, how many have ever had to clean the house? Here's the thing about men. We don't clean the house unless we have to. I said, what do you mean, God, about cleaning house? He said, Why do people clean the house? They clean the house. How many have ever had a call from your mother-in-law? I'm going to drop by. And the dishes have been in the sink for 3 days. And there's stuff on the floor. You immediately say, would love to have you. You hang up the phone and you go to cleaning the house. Why do we clean the house? Because company is coming. Can I tell you where the church is right now? If you're not careful, you'll compromise. We will compromise. If we're not careful, we will get behind people that have us secured in their back pocket. And we won't lift our voice and say, this is what we want. It's getting quiet in here. We underestimate ourselves and we settle. We settle. We'll settle for this person and this party. Well, I know that there's an obvious, definite, better party when it comes to morality. I'm not done. I want the church to demand what God wants in the White House, not just what we think is good. Are y'all reading between the lines here? I am not against, but I am against. I am against abortion, period. Here's why people tend to go lax. Well, at least we have Roe v. Wade overturned, and we don't want to, you know, try to ruffle the feathers. Let's just get the next party in there. If you don't make a stand now, if you don't say something now, while there is a better party than the one we have now, and I am hoping that I'm not crossing the lines. Again, I'm a preacher. Jesus Christ did not get up on the cross and half die for us. He did not half settle. He said, if this cup passes me, thy will be done. Why would we half settle wanting to see America turn completely to God? The church is not in anybody's back pocket right now. And you better not make people feel, because they are running for certain things, that they have your 100%. Because if they're in your back pocket, they're going to stop speaking for what things that you're standing for, and they're going to go after votes. I'm not after a vote. I'm after a voice. I want the church recognized. And isn't it funny that Ahab doesn't represent a person? It represents a system dealing with a Jezebel. And how many know Jezebel's coming down? I got 1 minute and 38 seconds. Let me listen to me. 3.5 years into the drought. We are 3.5 right now into this cycle. This is the moment, church, that you present yourself. This is the moment that you get on all your social medias, that you tell everybody, this is what I stand for. I stand for God. I stand and believe what God's word is, and I want representation for my God. Call me what it is. I'm not looking for the will of the people. I'm looking for the will of God over America, and I will not relent and continue to be a voice until we see it. I wish I had some people in here that knew what I feel right now and would put your foot down and say, we will be courageous, we will be bold, and we will not settle for anything less. Dust settles. Lawyers settle. The kingdom of God, we do not settle. We want God back in America again.
You know, we're living in an age where Christians are nervous. Christians are waffling in their commitment. Preachers aren't really preaching a clear message. We don't know if we're raptured out or if we're supposed to go to the voting booth and take a stand. The truth of the matter is, all that confusion dissipates when you get a fresh revelation of Jesus. God wants to give the church a fresh discovery of who Jesus is, because Jesus actually manifests himself in different ways in different periods of time. When he first came, John the Baptist was very confused. He had seen the Lord coming with a baptism of fire, and he was going to burn up the chaff, and he was going to shake things up, and Jesus actually came as a sacrifice. Well, end time Jesus is coming back as the judge of nations, and most Christians are looking for the lamb. He's coming as a lion. Now, if you get this revelation of who Jesus is right now, it doesn't dissipate the beauty of his merciful forgiveness or his love. It just adds this realization that he's coming with authority, and he wants his church to straighten up its back and begin to realize that the soon coming king is coming as the judge of nations. The revelation of end time Jesus will put a mantle in your life that will embolden you with clarity and confidence. The thing that is missing most in the body of Christ, the fear of the Lord, and the boldness of the first century church is about to come to you with this powerful revelation. Go to lancewalnow.com, end times Jesus. That's lancewalnow.com/endtimesJesus. And you're going to hear this explosive, fresh, new revelation that just came to me recently this year, that God wants the church to straighten up and strengthen itself because Jesus is coming with the armies of heaven, and he's coming to do battle.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.